Old Testament reading today comes from Exodus chapter 16, 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate the bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. And our epistle lesson today is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the Old Testament lesson from Exodus. Dogs and cats can teach us a whole lot about human nature. See, it depends on how they look at us. You know, a dog says, "This person feeds me, loves me, provides me shelter. That person must be a god." A cat looks at us and says, "Well, he feeds me, he loves me, he shelters me. I must be a god." And if you think about dogs and cats and you own them, you know exactly what I mean by the way they act. See, in that example, dogs and cats both have the same evidence, the same information, but they come to a different conclusions at the end. The Old Testament lesson, which is very much connected to the New Testament lesson, very important message. Again, the people had the same evidence, but came to the wrong or different conclusions. Let me go back to the analogy of cats and dogs. I could put those little, really nice cat treats on the floor, and I got one intellectually challenged cat. Then I can point to it, and she will stare at my hand. Now, 6 inches from my fingertip is a pile of some really good food, I guess, from a cat's perspective. But she looks at my hand, and then wants me to pet her. The other one, I point to the food on the floor, and she sort of figured it out. Oh, where's he pointing? There's the good stuff. My prayer would be that we look at where God is pointing. Where's the miracle here? Our Old Testament lesson from Exodus is about a month or so after the Red Sea. So keep in mind everything that's happened. Oh, let's see. Plagues. One after another on Egypt, finally the death of the firstborn. Pharaoh finally says, "I've had enough, leave." They see the Red Sea open up. They pass through on dry ground. It is a month later. So what do you think the people are going to do a mere month after being delivered from Egypt? Grumbling. Yes, they start complaining. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people said to them, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I like how in a month they suddenly had what we'd call revisionist history. They went from slaves going, suddenly we should just sit around and eat till we were stuffed. Okay, that's a whole different ballgame. You think after all that they had seen in Egypt, being delivered through the Red Sea, a month later they'd be thanking God. They start complaining. God shows mercy rather than punish them. God says, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And enough will come that you can eat and be satisfied. So what do they focus on then? Do they focus on the fact that look at how wonderful God is, that God provides us food every morning, that God lets us eat until we have our fill? Nope, they focus on the bread itself. And how do we know this? God says, not only I'm going to feed you, but I know exactly what you people are going to do. And it says, you are to only gather one day's worth. If you gather more than that, it will rot. On the sixth day, you are to gather enough for the sixth day and the seventh day being the Sabbath. And on the seventh day, the Sabbath, you are not to gather any bread. So what do? They see all this bread out there, and they see just how much they can bring into their tents. And it says the whole camp of Israel stunk. Then on the Sabbath, what do? They go out there and then start grumbling. There's no bread here. They're focused on the wrong thing. They're supposed to be reminded that God provides for us. That they were supposed to understand, trust in God. Don't trust on yourself, in yourself. Trust in God alone. And by the way, it's not the last time that they get distracted with eating. In the gospel lesson, we've just had Jesus feed the 5,000. Remember the disciples crossed in the boat? Jesus walks on the water out to them. They get to the other side of the lake, and the people found Jesus again. And they asked this just so simple question, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. They were focused on the food. They just saw him feed 5,000 men plus the women and children. And what are they focused on? Can I get more? They're looking at Jesus as an EBT card dispenser. We're just going to keep going. He's just going to keep giving us free food. Then Jesus gives them something very important to think about. He says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. Another way of putting it is, Jesus says, folks, look at the bigger picture. Stop looking at the food. Look at the bigger picture out there. It's almost as if he's saying, I gave you bread, I fed all those people. Do you really think that's all I can do for you? You think that's the limit to my power? He's saying, no, I can give you eternal life. Now you think at this point they're going to get it, right? Oh no, they start focusing then on the work. Thought suddenly now, well then I've got to earn God's grace and mercy. And they got excited for all the wrong reasons. They asked Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God? He just says, I can give you eternal life. And they say, so what do we got to do to get this? And notice it says works in the plural sense. In other words, they thought there was a whole bunch of things they had to do. The Pharisees already had their 613 laws that you had to keep. They're figuring out Jesus is going to give them a list, and they're going to take out that list, take a piece of paper, write it all down, and then start checking them off. I've done. Bottom line, eternal life, there it is. I made it. It is amazing that God shows as much mercy as he does in patience with all of us. Think about this too. They asked Jesus, what do I have to do to get eternal life? As if they could actually do it. The arrogance of that. Give me the list, Lord, and I'll do it. Like somehow they really thought, somehow I can earn what he's giving. And the Pharisees, which continually plagued Jesus through his entire earthly ministry, were always about making other people look, or making themselves look better than other people. There was a rabbi that once wrote, and I kid you not, he wrote this. He said, I divorced my wife for burning dinner, but at least I followed the laws of the rabbis in doing it. Hey, as long as you follow the rule book, it's okay. You haven't done anything wrong. At least that's their thinking. Jesus answers them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believing is the only way. Belief isn't even our work. Belief is the work of God himself. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws him. We believe because he planted the faith in us. Lynn Lee, at her baptism, God planted faith in her. It had nothing to do with her. She just looked cute. Really cute. But her faith is not a result of looking cute or having really cute pink toenails. It has everything that, I mean, I'm kind of laughing at it, but, you know, serious note. Her faith is a result of what God has done. Not what I did, not what her parents did. Did I say that right? Not what I did, not what her parents did, but what God did. Somehow I thought I got that wrong, and that didn't sound right. Did I have that right? Wow, see, in my head I thought, never mind. I can get in trouble for what I say, not what I thought. Anyway, and the people that were listening to Jesus had a hard time with this. That he was the only way of salvation, and that he would give them faith. And then the people said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Once again, just think about this. Now, what had happened just prior to this? He fed the 5,000, right? Now they're saying hours, a couple days later. So what are you going to do to prove it? All right. What are you going to do to prove it? And they go right back to the bread. They're focused on the entire wrong thing. They missed it then, and they're missing it now in the gospel. And Jesus has to say that the bread is not from Moses, it came from God. Everything ends then in this narrative with a focusing on who Jesus is and what he's done. Bread is a temporal thing. How long does it last in your cupboard before it grows natural penicillin? A week. Now, if you think about that, how long did you have to work and toil for something that's going to rot in a week? But some people entirely will focus on that. And I'm not talking about literal loaves of bread, just the material things. Eternal life is for eternity. Excuse me. But see, we human beings, by the way, really aren't much different than Jesus' audience, because we always want to do something. Instead, it's all about what Jesus has done for us. And the same questions that they asked in the gospel lesson, questions we ask might be a little different. I think Christians, a lot of times, will look at it, am I good enough to go to heaven? If I really look at my life? Am I really good enough? Do I have the right attitude? Do I have the right thoughts? Do I do the right things? Would God really save me because of who I am? By the way, do you know who puts those nasty little thoughts in your head? That's Satan. He's putting those thoughts in. Are you good enough? Because the question, or the answer to that is, are you good enough? No. Are you good enough because of what Christ gave you? Yes. Because He forgives us, we are, quote, good enough. God the Father doesn't see our sins, He sees Christ. So the question that we should be asking is not, what do I need to do to be saved? Not even, how am I saved? But who saves me? And the answer is, Christ alone. May the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.